section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A big return of lockdown, two ex-divas are pregnant, and the Yes Movement is a go. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Take what you wanna take, don't you leave me here. Last thing, leave your side for your fear of the one, one and only love.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Joey Ryan has some interesting things about the WWE. What do you think about his comments?
So this happened a few weeks back, but he had some more things that trickled out, and it wasn't really time sensitive, so we decided to kind of wait to talk about it. But he had talked about how Bill DeMott, or Hugh Morris as we know him, how he said that no one in the indies is better than anyone in NXT. No one. There's absolutely no one, and that everybody has to learn our system if they really want to be good. And he said something very interesting about your boy, Andy. And what was that that he said?
He said that the only reason Daniel Bryan is the wrestler he is today is because of the training that he learned while down at FCW, then became NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, Daniel Bryan's style wrestling is slowed down dramatically, but he's the way he is now is because of Shawn Michaels and the training that he learned from Shawn. And then I think Daniel Bryan just invented stuff that no one saw and he tore it up.
So it's not that he invented stuff. He more perfected, I would say.
All right. Yes.
More than anything. But well, let me ask you this. First of all, do you believe what Joey Ryan is saying, or are you going to take that with a grain of salt? Like, do you believe that this is word for word what Bill DeMott said?
I believe it, because Bill DeMott, there's no way to explain it. People say that once you earn his respect, he's a nice guy. But he believes that the way that he got into wrestling was tough. So he's tough on everyone. And there have been multiple stories about people who just don't care for him because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
And I agree with you. I think that this, you know, I don't want to say Joey Ryan. I think maybe he might have embellished maybe a titch, but not a ton. You know, just a little bit. I can see him saying this.
But the thing about Joey Ryan is they asked him to be a trainer down there. So that said something, like they saw something in him. But they're like, listen, man, you're too small. We already have enough short guys. You know, and that's what I got out of it. I guess it kind of bothers me that he would be this bitter about it, because when it's all said and done, there's only one company out there that you make a lot of money at, and that's with WWE. And he basically has, well, burned the bridges, if you want to say that.
Well, and unfortunately with his size, you know, he can work out in Ring of Honor. He could work out in TNA, and I really wish they would have utilized him better. But at WWE, the only thing that he could work out doing is if they had a cruiserweight division. That's the only thing that he could do there. Or he could work in NXT. And realistically, he's not going to do either. So anyway, Andy, a couple of your ex-girlfriends are pregnant, Stacy Keibler and Mickie James. Did this upset you at all when you found out?
No, I was actually not shocked about it, because Mickie James went down and trained a little bit down with NXT, but she didn't take bumps. And some people thought that was a little weird. But there was reports that when she was down there, she might have been pregnant at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how true that is. We'll find out how long. She hasn't announced how far along she is. The one that's really weird is Stacy Keibler. She married her rebound. But the rumor is also that she got married over the weekend, last weekend, and that she's also knocked up too. So,
and it is not David Flair's kid.
It's not correct. David Flair. Okay. We can confirm that. It's I can't think of the guy's name, but he's a tech entrepreneur. And he's big in tech.
But Mickie James, though, there is talk that it might be Magnus's child, which, you know, wouldn't be too big of a surprise.
That would be about the time, though. That, I mean, they would have had to taken care, you know, done their thing, and then they broke up, and then she went down to NXT. So that time frame, it depends on how many months she's along, too, or how many weeks, I should say. Because if she's like, you know, 12 to 14 weeks, then it's possible it could be his kid.
which means that she will not be wrestling for, you know, realistically, probably a full year. Well, so
Madison Rayne didn't come back for a while. She came back like 4 months afterwards or something like that. So who knows? But here's the biggest news that I think earlier on Thursday, they actually WWE stock rose because of this report that AMC was in talks to actually purchase the WWE. Now, do you believe this at all? Because this blog was not very well known, but then all of a sudden everyone started picking it up. Do you believe
it? I took a look into it because I was kind of curious. I saw that AMC was going to buy WWE, and I was like, well, doesn't make a lot of sense because WWE revenue wise makes, you know, X amount of dollars. So I took a look to see what AMC makes. It would just be, what's the best way to put it? It would be kind of like Target or Walmart buying Target. You know, like they are at a pretty similar, you know, like a level, right? You know, they are, you know, Walmart is number one, Target is number two. But it would be just kind of weird because it's like, hey, you know, you have enough money to buy us technically, but you probably wouldn't. There'd be really no big reason to. And so with the AMC thing, I'm thinking that maybe WWE was in talks with having their programming on there. Quick insider perspective on this. They had this thing called Game of Arms recently come out, which is about arm wrestling. I guess it's pretty popular, and there's a lot of drama behind there. Walking Dead is insanely popular. Mad Men is. They have all these other dramas on there. Then they have this show called Comic Book Men, which is kind of like they sell comic books on
it's
there.
A but Pawn Stars, you know, version
yeah,
with
but
comics.
With comics. Well, on top of that, Kevin Smith is doing another pilot with them called Hollywood Babylon. And so he has a pilot that he's going to be doing with them. And so they are trying to get all this type of programming that is centered for adult men 18 to 35. And that's what all their stuff is geared towards, all of it. So if they went after WWE, it would not surprise me in the least, not to buy them, but to get Raw, SmackDown, any of that stuff on their programming.
But they would only, I would believe that they would only get the two, Raw and SmackDown. I don't think you can have Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Superstars. Yeah, I don't think they could do that. That would be overkill, I think.
It would probably just be Raw and SmackDown, more than likely. But either way, so let's just talk about that then, Andy. This is a major talking point. Do you think it would be a good move for AMC, and do you think it'd be a good move for WWE?
This is the sketchy part. I think it would be great for AMC. I don't think it'd be good for WWE though. AMC's not in a lot of households, and if you remember right, AMC had a huge problem with Dish that ended up they came back. Dish kind of had to because people were getting upset about it because of The Walking Dead and Mad Men and Breaking Bad. But Breaking Bad wasn't even on during this time. But I think it would benefit AMC, but I think the WWE, it wouldn't. The other thing also is that AMC is actually owned by AMC. They also own IFC and like Wii TV as well. So maybe Total Divas will go to Wii, the WWE TV, Women Entertainment.
I doubt that it would go there because they would probably look at that and go, these bimbos, like really, like this is making us look bad. But
yeah,
I see what you're saying though. But either way, so you're saying that'd be good for AMC, but not WWE. I kind of agree with you. I think that they really need to find a way to stay on NBC Universal because there's moving costs involved. And what I mean by that is you have to alert your fan base. Guess what? I know you love Raw, but if you want to keep watching it, you got to move over to AMC. They have to keep saying this over and over and over and over again. And if you think those stupid little vignettes or those commercials about, hey, guess what? You want the WWE app? Here's how you do it. Here's how you install it. It's going to be the same thing pretty much.
By the way, I just want to point out the fact that Cole no sold when Lawler goes, hey, got a Smart TV is on that. And then he looked at him like, you idiot, which I still find funny. By the way,
What I was saying, though, what I'm saying, though, is I think that it would be detrimental for WWE. They need to find a way that they can stay with NBC Universal and stay with Comcast and stay on their networks.
Just to give you a quick update, AMC is actually for pay TV service. It's available in 85.55% of all households with TVs, just to give you a a nice little stat with that. Speaking of, let's still talk about AMC, all right? So Talking Dead, right? This Sunday, Phil Brooks is going to be returning, and he's a super fan of The Walking Dead, so he's going to be Talking Dead in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Okay.
His first appearance, his first, him saying anything since he walked out.
This is the weird part. Of course, Phil Brooks is CM Punk. And he's going to be on this Sunday night on The Talking Dead. The only reason I'm going to, I don't watch The Walking Dead, so I'm going to tape The Talking Dead. And I find this weird that he's willing to fly to LA opposed to drive the 45 minutes to the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois to just talk to someone with the WWE. I find that weird, but.
So, well, real quick, do you think the show's going to get hijacked by wrestling fans?
I've never seen The Talking Dead. Do they pull the crowd? Or
they do ask the crowd questions. They also will take phone calls at times. And they, I remember one in particular. I watched the show once or twice. It was like a season finale type thing. And they had on there where a person called and basically was saying, everybody here is going to hell or something along those lines. Really weird. And so they immediately hung up and Chris Hardwick was like, oh, no, actually, I wish we could have talked to him. That would have been even funnier. I have a feeling that there's gonna be a lot of calls that they're going to screen out, or they may not even do calls at all. But honestly, if I was a fan that was going to call in, I would say, yeah, you know, I want to know, do you think that this character should have walked away from this character because they were really upset with them and never come back? And not talk about why they're upset with him. Do you think that's a good, a smart career move? And I would say something along those lines that really is alluding to the fact that, guess what, dude, you walked out on us. Please explain why. So I cannot wait to see it. Obviously, we're going to be reporting on it. You know, we're going to be talking about it. But Andy, let's talk about WWE programming this week.
Just throw out a conspiracy theory. What if the reason why Phil Brooks is going on there is because they want to have leverage against NBC Universal to make more money?
I doubt that. So anyway, Andy, Christian and Sheamus are feuding still. It's in a feud that's going on right before Elimination Chamber, went through to there. And basically what's been happening is Sheamus has been – he's kept winning. So, I mean, is this even a real feud if Christian keeps losing and Sheamus keeps winning?
I hope that they make this a WrestleMania match.
Why? We've seen it like four times now.
I've really dug their matches, and they've been working well together. I would like to see them actually wrestle at WrestleMania. I think that is a match I would actually pay to see, especially if they did something interesting, like if they did like a steel cage, or if they did, you know, something where it was like a lot of fighting. Because Christian, of course, can fight, and Sheamus is a fighter. It would be kind of cool if that happened. But remember, Christian has always got payback on Sheamus on Raw. He beat the crap out of him after the street.
Yeah, but how many wins does he have?
Well, that's not the point right now. I want to see this. I really want to see this.
You want to see it at WrestleMania, though. You want this to take up a 20 to 30 minutes of your time at WrestleMania.
I think they would be 20 minutes from curtain to curtain, I think. So you'd probably get a good 14-minute match. I would be okay with that. Because I think that both of them could do it. Plus, who else is Sheamus going to wrestle at WrestleMania? That's the other thing, too.
He'll be in a match that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
All right.
But Andy, Big E, Cesaro, Swagger, they've had this really interesting feud going on. And I got to ask you, what do you do with this? Do you have a match at WrestleMania, Swagger versus Cesaro? Do you do a three-way? Do you do a one-on-one at WrestleMania with, you know, no DQ? What do you do?
Three-way. Has to be a three-way. In fact, what would be kind of cool is if they made it a five-way, put both titles, put the U.S. title, they made it a six-way, put both titles up there, throw Christian Sheamus in there as well, throw Dean Ambrose, which would be kind of cool, have a six-way ladder match.
But that makes no sense.
Hey, then you're throwing your titles,
dude. Random participants.
I know.
You're throwing in random participants.
Okay, so if we talk about just if the three were to wrestle a three-way, it would be a good match because I'm sorry, but Cesaro, it doesn't matter.
Is that what you would do for that feud though? For that because if it's Swagger versus Cesaro, Big E happens to be involved a little bit. Would you do a three way? Would you just do Swagger versus Cesaro? What would you do?
I'm thinking. I would actually do the three way. I would have it Big E versus Cesaro versus Swagger, and I could probably, and Big E's going to win, but it's going to break up the Real Americans. But it would be fun as if Big E turned heel all of a sudden on Cesaro.
Well, I mean, Cesaro is a tweener right now.
He's a face. There's no way to put it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the fact that he's a tweener. Yeah. There's another way to put it. So anyway, so you have, why would you do that anyway? You have a heel in the match already with Swagger. You have a tweener in Cesaro, and then you have the face in Big E. That's actually perfect. If anything else, that's perfect. You get an opportunity here to make Cesaro a full-fledged face by having him win the title if they went that route. So that's actually what I would probably do. Andy, Raw opened on Monday with Hulk Hogan in the ring, and then John Cena comes out. So we get to see Hogan and Cena in the same ring at the same time. What did you think?
What would have made this better? If Stone Cold was in the ring too. I believe the three guys, Hogan,
Rock and Cena. Yeah.
And Stone Cold.
Why would you have him?
I believe Stone Cold actually helped that time frame. Because then you have the four.
A little bit, yeah.
You have the four people who basically have passed the torch to each other. Realistically, Hogan passed the torch, I guess, to both Rock and Stone Cold. But then you have.
Well, really? Cena. How did he pass it to Stone Cold?
Yeah, see, Stone Cold was such a big star then, though.
And I will not say that Stone Cold was not important, because he was very important for the Attitude Era. He is very important in the history of WWE. Very important. However, though, and people will disagree with me, but when I'm thinking like the people that define the eras, I'm thinking Hogan. I'm thinking probably Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. I mean, you know, they were kind of neck and neck there. I would say Rock, then Stone Cold. And then I would say Cena, you know, I would say Rock over Stone Cold personally.
I can't put Michaels or Hart in there because they were big, but they were big, I think, for weird reasons. I mean,
it was also that weird period, too, you know.
Yeah, because after Hogan, really, there was no one for the longest time. And then they built stars, and then they got The Rock out of it. They got Stone Cold out of it, and then John Cena. Then there was no one after Stone Cold. Remember, there was a period where there was really no big stars. I mean, because I don't consider Triple H a big star still. To me, he's just.
I don't either. Let's get back on topic, though.
Anyway, so okay, yeah.
what did you think though of Hogan and Cena in the same ring?
To me, it was like the when I started watching wrestling to wrestling today. That's how I look at it. You had those two guys. I was excited. I became a mark at that point, and. I just love the segment. I thought it was perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Hulk Hogan announced the Battle Royale in honor of Andre the Giant, which mm-hmm. I think is cool because they're going to do that now for every year now, which realistically, the reason why I like it is because guys who are not on the card can be on the card and actually experience it in the ring. Because a lot of times guys go out there and they don't get to wrestle. They don't get that big payoff from WrestleMania. They just are... there in the back.
Well, and on top of it too, so it's a 30 man over the top battle royale, so it's not a you know Royal Rumble, it's a battle royale, and it'll give a lot of those people opportunities, like you said. My only question is, why haven't they done this sooner? They've had battle royales for so long.
They've been the dark matches, though. That's the thing. Yeah, no one gets to see them.
I know, and I don't understand why, because those are actually pretty exciting matches that you put in the middle of the show, you know, like you have a couple of like singles matches and then you do something to break it up, you know, and you have this, you know, or you might have a tag team or a three way. And so I'm actually a little surprised this is the first time they've done it, because Andre the Giant was one of those people that everybody loved and they always spoke very highly of. He was the first inductee in the Hall of Fame for WWE. I was very shocked that it took them this long to actually do it, but kudos to them. I think this will actually be a pretty fun match, and I can't wait to actually ask you and the rest of the panel for our WrestleMania special who you think is going to win once the rest of the people are announced.
That is completely true. Now, one thing that happened that was probably one of the best segments since the pipe bomb, Daniel Bryan brings out people, well, of course, crew members, and they start the Occupy Raw.
Yeah.
And it's the yes movement. He has people in there. They're fans are going nuts. They're wearing Daniel Bryan shirts, and Triple H wants everyone out. Why? Because he's a jerk. But this was probably one of the best segments I've seen in a long time. Daniel Bryan's in there, of course, saying that he's not leaving until he gets what he wants. And, of course, it gets under Triple H's skin. And I thought this segment played off perfectly. One of the best segments I've seen.
I'm going to ask you something slightly controversial. What was a better segment, this or him and Bray Wyatt in the steel cage?
This was.
I disagree.
Really?
Wholeheartedly.
Really?
Wholeheartedly. He had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand. And there were no words that need to be exchanged. You knew what was happening during the Bray Wyatt. This was cool. And this will be in his top five, you know, like greatest moments, you know, for him, for sure. It was really neat to see the ring filled with Daniel Bryan shirts. It was really cool. The fact that he said, it's not that I'm going to just sit here in the ring. I will occupy this ring with everybody and the show will not go on. And then Triple H said, fine, I will give you the match. And then Bryan added the stipulation on top of it that he gets added to the match, the three-way, if he beats Triple H. And we're going to have some fun. I think that when we do our WrestleMania special, I have a feeling that we're going to have some very different looks into what's going to happen at WrestleMania. And I cannot wait to talk about that. Neither can I.
And everything that's going on, it's unbelievable. By the way, did you watch the top 10 finishing moves? Did you watch that?
I haven't seen that one yet. No.
Let's put it this way. Vertebraker was not in there. I'm just saying.
All right. So
neither was the Diamond Cutter. So I'm a little upset. But anyways, let's thank HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 OffTheMark page, and you'll see a banner at the top. And you're going to save big items if you click on that, and you'll go to WWEShop.com. So let's talk some Impact Wrestling, including Lockdown. So, Aaron, who was the big return at Lockdown?
Bobby Lashley. And I got to say, I was insanely surprised by that. I was like, wait, he's still wrestling? Like, he was doing MMA, you know, for a while. I was pretty excited to see him. What about you?
I was surprised. Didn't expect him. And when they did the intro, I was like, I don't even know who that is. So I was like, I don't know who that is. And then I saw like three fans. They're like, oh my gosh, it's, and I'm like, who? And then he came out and then they had to announce who it is.
Oh, I knew as soon as I saw him. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. But I mean, the crowd was like, who's this guy? You know? And Bobby Lashley was basically a knockoff Brock Lesnar in the WWE. There's no other way to put it.
I wouldn't say he was a knockoff. He was. Wait, was he a world heavyweight champion? I don't remember if he was world heavyweight or not.
He was ECW. I remember that.
He was ECW. I remember.
ECW.
And they pushed him quite a bit. I mean, he was a pretty big guy in WWE. And, you know, I mean, Vince, of course, he really likes his muscle men. And Bobby Lashley was a muscled guy. I think that he actually may have been out of wrestling for almost probably 2 years too long because, like you said, the crowd was a little like, But do you like having him back? Do you think that if he's back for, you know, like a 6 month run, do you think that'd be pretty good for him?
I don't know if that's going to be long enough or if it's too long. He should
I
want him to be shorter. Have him come in, do his thing, and then get out. I
would like him to stay. I would like to see what they could do with him.
I think he's going to stick with MMA. No, because if I'm correct, he got hurt in MMA, and I don't know if he can compete anymore. I don't know if it was a Brock Lesnar type injury or not, but that doesn't matter. But the point is, I don't see money with Bobby Lashley. He's just a big guy. And at some point, you're just like bored with it. And TNA has been focusing mostly on the wrestling ability, not the. I think Bobby Lashley did like three moves, and then it was like, oh my gosh, EC3 can't handle those three moves that Bobby Lashley can do.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be anything spectacular. I mean, he would tear EC3 up, but he could have some really good matches with, like, let's say, Bully Ray, Abyss, Samoa Joe, really, and even the bigger guys, you know, like that are kind of in between, like Robert Roode and those types of people. I think that it could be pretty good for them. And I like seeing Lashley. I think that was, you know, pretty smart move to bring him in.
I'm going to say this right now. You said something about Bully, and the funny part about Bully is that he turned on Dixie, which was hilarious.
It was interesting. What did you think?
I was surprised, but I also wasn't, because I was like, okay, why is Bully Ray coming out? And I was like, he just ended his feud with Ken Anderson. He's been gone for so long. I said something when I was watching, because I didn't get to see the pay-per-view. I only got to see the last, like, 10 minutes of the pay-per-view live. I was like, no, it'd be funny if he turned on him. That was my joke. And then it happened. He turned on Dixie, and I was like, oh, okay, so where do you go from here? But I was kind of happy about it. I was like, okay, it's cool he did it.
Do you know why he did?
I don't know. He said something that he saw Hulk Hogan, and that basically I thought he implied that he was going to go back to WWE. But I think he was implying that he was going to turn back to a face.
So, and on top of it, too, even without like him talking at Impact yesterday, he still think about what he was doing all last year. He was a part of the Aces and Eights, and his whole thing was to take over TNA and to take it over from Dixie Carter, who he was battling. Right, that was his whole purpose. So, why on earth would he want to team with Dixie Carter?
That is true. Okay, I see what I see where you're going with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So,
thought.
But anyway, I still like Bully as a heel personally. I think him, going to a face is actually But
do you believe his contract ends in June? Do you believe that he's not going to resign? Because this last year was an option.
Yeah.
Do you believe that he's not going to resign and then try to get in with the WWE?
I think he's going to try to, and I think that he may have burned some bridges there, so I don't think he's going to get in, and then he'll end up back at TNA.
That's one thing. You know what? Maybe we should look into that with the Bully Ray, because he did something, and I don't remember what it was, and I'm actually going to spend some time this week and sending some emails and doing some research what he did.
Yeah.
Of course, I said that about the pay-per-views thing, but I am actually kind of curious on that. So once I find that out, I will let everyone know.
So the other big thing that happened, though, Andy, was that MVP, because they won the match, he takes over control of TNA. He comes out on Thursday. He gives a speech about how he's leveling the playing field and, he's going to make things right again. What do you think of MVP being the, he took over wrestling operations. What do you think of that?
Interesting part about that, no Dixie on Thursday, which I thought was a little weird that she wasn't there. I thought she'd show up. The fact that he's now taking control of TNA, I think, was a smart thing, because I think Dixie should be gone. She shouldn't be there. And this gives me my conspiracy theory that Jeff Jarrett actually did buy TNA. But whatever. Getting to the point about what's going on with MVP taking control of TNA. To me, it's kind of a big deal. He was brought in for that. Okay, great. So you got that going. Now, what's left? Where do you go from here? That's the point we need to figure out. What's his master plan?
What they need to do is they need to come up with compelling stories. And that's one of the things that WWE has been able to do. And regardless of what you think about Daniel Bryan and how they've prolonged it, which they have, it's still a actually pretty good story. It really is. And his match against Triple H is going to be really good because of everything that's been going on. I'm talking about Daniel Bryan, that whole thing. And so what I'm saying is that that's a compelling story. And they need to continue to tell that compelling story for WWE. TNA, they need to do the same thing. They need to tell a compelling story with Samoa Joe, with Magnus, with Ken Anderson and Shaw and all those other people. They need to tell really good stories. And they have an opportunity to do that. And I think that they have this star power that is just that it's that diamond in the rough. because I think Magnus, he has the opportunity to become a megastar for TNA, not for wrestling, for TNA. I think EC3 can be also a kind of that top tier talent. I'm not saying that he should be the champion or anything like that, but I'm saying that he has that opportunity. He really does. And so if they put their weight behind that, then it can be good. They need to get out of the mentality, though, of all these factions and all this evil boss stuff. And if they do that, then they will. So I agree with you what you were saying about MVP. Something needs to happen here for that storyline to continue and continue well.
Yeah, so Ken Anderson is feuding with Samuel Shaw. It was interesting until Thursday when he brought out the mannequin. Don't care now. Creepy wrestler, hashtag. I just shake my head now. Well, come on, so
hold
man.
Hold on.
It was interesting until he brought out the dummy.
Hold on. So they had their match at Lockdown. Pretty much everybody figured that Shaw was going to win, which he did. And then they had a rematch on Impact. And you didn't like the mannequin?
I thought it made it comical. Well, it reminded me of Al Snow with the head.
Well, I know. It reminded me of Al Snow, but like just a little different because he's weird. He's creepy. You know, that's his Christy Hemme, right? So he wanted to be around his Christy Hemme that Ken Anderson obviously was violating. And so I liked it. I thought it was unique and I thought it was different. But this feud's going to go on until probably the next pay-per-view, I bet, which is in a month and a half. I mean, what do you think?
But Ken Anderson gave him the mic check. And plus, Sam Shaw was so infatuated with this doll. Ken Anderson mic checked him, match over with. I thought the thing was the feud's over, is how I take it, is that there's nothing more that can be done with. I mean, you can, but him bringing out the mannequin, I was cuckoo.
I know. Well, that's the point. That's what they want.
To me, that's comical.
Well, you said he's crazy, so you think that crazy people are funny.
No, he's crazy, but it's a comical prop. If he didn't bring anything, if he had like a strand of hair or something like that, something really creepy like that, as in like it could have been something from
well,
her
he
hair.
Did, though. He did.
But that hair that came out there, but the thing is, dude, the hair that was on that mannequin, you could tell it was completely fake. If he just brought strands of her hair. Yeah, but the thing is, that made me laugh. So I think it took away from his creepy character. And if you want to have him creepy, you could have had like some of her hair, like just that he brings out and puts down or something like that and is infatuated with her hair. Okay, then that's really creepy. Bring out the mannequin. I don't broke the record what I'm
saying.
I think
it'd be weirder to bring out the strands of hair, but that's fine. We can disagree on that. I do think that Samuel Shaw, though, the only problem with his character is it's one that cannot be ongoing and be can make money. That's the biggest problem with him. He cannot be the type of character that you have a program with for 5 years. He's somebody that you have him come in. Maybe he does this for like a year, maybe. But you can't see a 5-year program out of him. Really can't.
I see the same thing with Willow, dude. Willow the Wisp, you know, it's an alter ego of Jeff Hardy. I think this is stupid. Honestly, like he did this in Omega Wrestling.
Didn't you say like last week or the week before that you really liked it?
I liked it. I thought it was so cool. And then he comes out and then I'm like, oh, it like ruined it. When it was in Omega, dude, it was awesome. He wasn't talking. He was just a little nuts and stuff. And then now I see it portrayed on, you know, Lockdown and then on Impact last night. I just shake my head, dude. I'm like, okay, I hate myself for actually saying that. It actually bothered me that I said that, believe it or not.
Good. I hope you lose sleep over it.
I probably will. But to me, it was like, okay, it was cool. And then all of a sudden, now it's not. Okay, you're crazy. That's great. Take off the mask. Everyone knows you're Jeff Hardy. If they didn't know it was Jeff Hardy, it's a different story. But everyone knows who Will. Well, I'm sorry, not everyone. But some people will know who Will of the Wisp is. And once you see the guy, you're like, oh, that's Jeff Hardy. I can tell by the tats.
And well, on top of it, too, I think that, like you said, there are some fans that won't know that it's Jeff Hardy. And that kind of ruins a little bit of the, you know, the promotion. You know, you say you'll get to see Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, you know, and then when they're like, wait, we didn't see Jeff Hardy. Where was Jeff Hardy? And they're like, oh, it was Willow. And they're like, that was Jeff Hardy? That's stupid. What is he doing? I think it's a dumb gimmick personally. And I mean, let him do his own thing, but I would really focus on the fact that it's Jeff Hardy playing Willow. That's what I would do. I would have a person like, not saying Ken Anderson, but like, you know, a person like that who basically says, "You're Willow now, huh? Is that what you're doing, Jeff?" You know, and like really kind of play off that. That's what I would probably do with it.
I think they should just no sell it. just pull, yeah, Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and be like, "What the heck are you talking about?"
I think that they should for something like that. So,
oh, by the way, I got a spoiler alert. Big spoiler alert. Going back to WWE real quick, Daniel Bryan is going to win the title at WrestleMania.
Oh really? Yeah. You know, so we're gonna talk about, you know, Andy. We're gonna talk about it at a WrestleMania special.
But
then you will know why I think he may or may not win it.
I'll just tell you why he's gonna win it, because on WrestleMania
why not just wait
on WrestleMania
until
week? What happens is, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at Off the Mark 86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.